Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for your many gifts and thank you for the love and fellowship in our lives. Lord, guide and direct us in Jesus' name and amen. Well, we always have something to talk about each broadcast. And let's see, today I was thinking about my son who walked into a store, and there was something going on with the owner and his son, and they were talking a little bit loud. One said to the other about a item priced at $40, but it was something that should have been priced at either $80 or over $100. And my son wondered if they were promoting an item to get it sold. Kind of in a way that was not just out in the open. And so my son wondered just what was going on, and it is a question about if we are being manipulated about something or other, because it happens all the time. There are promotions and people who want to have a product to be bought or sold or something. I mean, you just think of the parties that you've gone to. I'm thinking of a Tupperware party, but it could be anything where a product is promoted. And it's a common sales technique that is done where something is spoken about, but it's not really clear what is going on. They don't want it to be clear. They want it to create interest and demand. So we have that going on in many ways, all over society, whether it's in a store or in the government or even in a church. You think of how the good news that a pastor talks about will get people thinking, oh, that's great, and they are more likely to give, well, tithes and donations if they have a good and lovely message. So it's something that we all get to deal with in life when people would like to have our time and attention and, of course, money. So we all talk about good things, not bad, and that's the way of getting people interested in whatever we are talking about. Of just like we talk about the good things, about heaven and about being born again. And what Christ did for us, yes, that's true. But we always have to know that there is another part of what the Bible talks about. Yes, Christ and God have done things for you. But then it can be you need to do something as a response. And that's something that the Bible talks about. It's something that the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and minds about. Our senses, we can get a pretty good understanding of what is going on, but it helps to process it with our mind, our thoughts, and our emotion. Yes. Well, we have prayer that helps us, and God gives us guidance as we pray, and we should always pray. Pray. That reminds me of a story. I don't know if it's a true story or not. It could be, but it wasn't told to me as one. Were there two fellows who were crossing the Russian border to escape Russia and get freedom. So one fellow, they're running together. One fellow stops to pray, and he is shot and killed right on the spot. When he gets to heaven, the fellow asks, how is this right? And the response is that, you stopped to pray, but the other fellow prays all the time. So it's a kind of a funny story, but there is something to it that we are to pray without ceasing as we follow Jesus and be guided by the Holy Spirit. So we keep thinking of putting your trust in God and not a man. Jeremiah 17. 5, yeah. And then the other parts of the Bible can speak about a similar theme, about putting our trust in the Lord. And indeed, not a man. But here we are living, and we have lots of things that we do trust men for. Well, for business things, for family things. And we do have to know that God is the best source of information, so we put our trust in the Bible, in speaking to God and hearing from His Holy Spirit. And that takes a certain amount of discernment as we live. I think Benjamin Franklin, who said, believe none of what you hear and only half of what you see. It's pretty interesting that we have people who want to deceive us all along. And so they say something that makes us feel good or will make us motivated to, for instance, buy something. Oh, like it in a store or at a party, so to speak, like a Tupperware party. Well, these things have always gone on, and we ought to know about them so that we can have proper discernment of things around us, our friends, our family, our government. Everybody has a view that they want to help us to understand so that they can get us to think and do or put money into in a way that suits them. That's something that just has gone on all throughout time, and it is going on right now in the life all around us. Still, we get things that go on in the spirit and in the natural world, and we want to be careful about the things that could ensnare us, could catch our attention, can entertain our mind so that it could stop us from doing what is the very best spiritual thing to do. And we see the manipulation going on all around us. Just think what goes on with the, can I say government? Can I say with corporations and institutions? And sometime with the people that are around us too. It's a certain manipulation that has always gone on, and no doubt it will continue to. I think of the vote manipulation too. The voting irregularities. Oh, I remember I was a young fellow, and still I would read the papers and the things that were going on because I was encouraged to, and so I did. There, in the Oakland Tribune, it talked about the irregularities that were going on with voting around the country, how the votes were manipulated, and we still have that going on today. Just think of what has gone on with Obama and Trump and the elections around each one of them. Think about the voting machine controversies that have gone on and the mail-in ballots. There are manipulations going on, just like there are all through life and the people that are around us. And sure, it's dishonest. And sure, it can be a crime against the Republic. But it still goes on because people think that they will not be caught. They can get away with it, and it will be worthwhile to them. For whoever it is, a store, any kind of an organization at all. And somehow we have to consider that there are different, well, I will call them forces at work. And we want to have, well, I think of Superman, truth, justice, and the American way. but whatever it is, we do not want to be cheated and swindled. So sometime we have to get very aware of what is going on around us. And we want to do the right things for the other people also. So it takes a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of thought so that we can avoid the trouble and do the best that we are able. And I do mean the very best. Don't make excuses. just do the best that you are able. Do it that from a spiritual, biblical perspective. And yes, we do struggle with everything. Everything can be daily struggles, can be long-term struggles. And somehow, we have to always focus on Jesus because he is the Word and he is the Savior of the world. And we want to put our faith in Jesus. We know Jesus by reading the Bible, and our Jesus is available to us, and it helps to know him by remembering parts of the Bible. And some of the Bible brings comfort, and yay, hooray for that. We do want the comfort, but we also want the truth, and the truth shows that there is a judgment that will take place, and therefore we want to live according to God's will as we go through life. So yes, the Bible has comfort, and it has, I will call it requirements. And sometimes it is inconvenient to get away from the problem because that's life. And somehow we need to always remember to obey God, obey Jesus, just the way it is written in the Bible. The Bible helps us to understand, to see, and determine our words and our actions. Now, often enough, we expect Jesus to fulfill our desires and will, but we have to know that Jesus has a will for us, and he expects us to fulfill his desire for us. And that means we have to think and do according to his will. We also have to do things in a way that he calls us to do so that we can receive the promises that he gives us. Yes, it is conditional. God says, if you do this, I will do that. And that is said hundreds of times in our Bible. It is a conditional promise that God promises us the blessings and we get to do something to receive those blessings. And it's good to have a understanding of what the Bible says. So it is an offer, and yet there is something that we need to do to fulfill it. You just read it. You will see it. It often enough, it's in the Old Testament, but also the New. And I think of God saying in Matthew 5:18 that not one jot or tittle will pass from the law without it being fulfilled. So, indeed, we do have a law that has been given, and we have been giving grace, and we have been given mercy. Now, for which is grace and mercy and which is law? I cannot tell you that. I don't know myself. But I know that I have a great desire to live a righteous and holy life, the way that God would want us to live, so that we are not judged as a sinful person. So we want to live holy and righteous, and it sure helps us to read the Bible to know how to live holy and righteous. Now, God remembers everything. He remembers all of our disobedience or the trouble in our life. God knows all the goodness and the blessings that we have given others. Yes, it's a wonderful thing. We are to search out the whole counsel of God. Acts 20:27 says that. That is a part of our life, to know the whole counsel of God. And that will give us the wisdom to live and to do. To have a direction that God wants us to go. Yes and hooray. I think of all the things that go on in life, though. There is our feelings, which we want to give attention to, but we also have to use our wisdom to know and discern. I think of Jeremiah 17:9 that says, "The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So we have to be careful as we search for what to do, how to live, keep our thoughts and our words aligned with God. That's what we do. And our heart can be different from our thoughts, and somehow we are one person, and we have a heart, a mind, and the logic. So we want to also know that one day we will be examined. Oh, we can be judged. I think of, well, 1 John 3:20 talks about God knows everything. Nothing is hidden from the Lord God. Nothing. So we are to confess our sin, and which God already knows, but we are to confess it because that is a part of what he tells us to do, so that we may live with a fresh repentance in our life, to be trying to do the goodness and holiness of God as we live. As we have our born-again relation with Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, and amen. Now, often enough, I think about how we talk to people about Jesus, and somehow we never quite get the whole everything about Jesus told, because we have a great big book of what Jesus did and spoke and what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. So how do we explain that in just a short description? When we are talking to people about knowing Jesus and coming to God and knowing God's Word, the Bible, as we strengthen our relationship with the eternal God through Jesus Christ, how do we do it? How do we know God? Well, we make an effort and we do the best we are able. Now, don't forget, the best we are able can be not just what is easy. Do we do the best we are able? It might be kind of complicated. And yet, don't you think God wants us to do it thoroughly? We have expectations of God to do things for us, and he has expectations of us. So let us do literally the best we know how, and don't make excuses for the things that you didn't do. Just try to do them over and over and over again. We try, because God is a God of truth with an eternal destiny that he offers us. And yes, we want to have our destiny be heaven for everyone, yes, but we know that there is a point of judgment after we pass into the next life. And some people will go to heaven and some people will go to hell. That's a part of what there is. Therefore, we want to know that our eternal destiny is in heaven. So study the Bible and make sure that you are living a life that is according to God's will. I think of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. They were 10 who were dedicated to, well, their religion, whatever it was, we don't know. But it was 10 of those virgins who were dedicated. And I think it is very instructive that 5 of them made it into that heavenly place, and 5 of them were presumed to have, not made it. They apparently made it to the outer darkness, hell, so to speak. So that's something we all have to be careful of, these warnings that tell us that we want to be careful and know that we are walking with the Holy Spirit of God, with and through Jesus Christ. We get guided by God's Word, the Bible, and certainly the Holy Spirit will help us if we listen, and as we do, the will of the Father. So, a part of it is believing, and a part of it is doing. I just pray for every one of us, because, well, I want every one of us to go to that heavenly place. And it's not just a matter of believing, it is a matter of doing. James 2:9 says that even the devils believe. So isn't it evident that we not only have to believe, that we have to obey the will of the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It's all in the Bible. And we see that there are people who want to tell us that it is a simple thing to belong to God. And maybe it is. I'm not sure. I can see that there's an argument to that position. I just know that there can be an argument that there is more than simple belief. But I would say, please search that out in God's letter to you, the Bible, because after all, we want to do what it takes to get to our eternal heavenly destination, not that other place. Well, we have to be, I'm thinking of Romans 8, 9, and 10, where if we believe that Jesus came in the flesh and that God saved him from the dead, then as we follow Christ, we will go to heaven. And, you know, there are different people with different ideas, and I understand that too. I talk with a lot of people, and some have the idea that everyone is under grace, and I just wonder if they think everyone is going to heaven. But that's not according to Matthew chapter 7. It's there's a wide road to hell and a narrow road to heaven. Oh, of course, you can see it in any way that you choose, but I pray that you ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to understand what it takes to be a Christ follower. And yeah, there's lots and lots of opinions. Did you say the words? And if you said the words, doesn't that mean you're going to heaven? Well, it could. Does it mean you have to live the words or only speak the words? I leave these questions to you, but I certainly want you to follow that narrow path to the kingdom of heaven. That's what I want for you, but it might take a little study on your part. Well, I'm not sure just what to say, except consider these things, consider life, consider love, and consider what you can do to show that you are living for Jesus Christ and, well, love him just like, well, maybe just not like he loves you, but he loves you greatly and you love him greatly. So see what it takes to fulfill his will in your life. I know we have a lot of people who think that if they have a feeling of love, that is enough. And perhaps it is. But perhaps you want to have your life as an example of love for Jesus Christ by how you live. Now, that's a part of one of the things we all look at. Are we going to show our love for God through Jesus Christ as we live? And then it's not just the words that we speak. It's not just the beliefs that we have. It is demonstrating our belief as the life we live. Now, we can confuse all sorts of things that we want. We can find different parts of the Bible that says one thing, and it seems to go a different direction by another passage in the Bible. And that's something that we all get to seek out and try to understand. And we have different ways to believe. Sometimes it is all starting with the emotion that we feel, and we pursue the emotion. And sometimes it is all through the intellect, and people have a discussion about what it takes to follow God through Jesus Christ. I guess this was a couple of days ago. I was listening to a debate between two Christians, a Calvinist and an Arminian, and they have different points of view as to how you get close to God. Well, it's interesting that everyone can have a different intellectual point of view, just like everybody can have a different emotional point of view. I don't really know what to say about that. The only thing that I can really think to say is just make sure you are acting according to the beliefs that you profess. Because there are many different beliefs. So there are beliefs, as I said, between Calvinists and Arminians, between Christians, Catholics and Protestants and Lutherans. Or are there differences between Jews and Christians? Well, yes. And it's not that I really know how to define each and every one of them. The big thing I can see is that we want to show our belief as we live. Actually live according to what we say we believe. How are we doing with that? We have a good book of directions, instructions. It's called the Bible. And how are you doing to live according to what you tell me you believe? The Bible. You believe the Bible? Yes, me too. So are we living according to the principles of the Bible? Well, it can get a little bit complicated, just like that discussion I heard between the Calvinist and the Arminian believer. So, or the people who have a different Christian view of different faiths. Oh, sure, Lutheran, Protestant, or Catholic, or any of them. Are you living according to what you say you believe? I don't know the whole truth of the argument. I just want you to be sure of your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And be obedient in the way that he calls you to be. Not the way that you can imagine obedience, but the way that he tells you. He writes about it in the Bible. And that's how we learn what to do, what to think, and what to speak. It's rather plain, but it takes a little bit of study. Now, there's some people who just want to believe what another person says. And they say, I listened to my pastor and he said this and that. Yes, but it's up to you. It is up to you because you are the one that's going to be judged on Judgment Day. Now, that's, there we go. Different things in the Bible and people have different opinions and ideas. Well, I say fine, but I hope that everyone personally does the very best that they know how to follow God's word, the Bible. There's plenty of people who want to debate, and sometimes it's fun to have a debate, to have our mind have a different opinion from another person with a very different opinion. It can be fun to think, fun to debate. Sure, so do that. And then obey what you understand. that's kind of the best thing that I can tell you, think about for you to do. You get to decide, and then you get to have the consequences of your determinations in your emotions, your rationality, and your actions in life. Everything will be judged by Jesus, and we want to give thanks to God for his love and his mercy, and we want to do what we can to fully follow Jesus Christ. Yes and amen. Well, pray for all of these things. Pray for God's understanding in your mind, in your emotion, and in your life. I think we all know that salvation can be pretty easy, or salvation can be something to follow, which doesn't look so easy. Well, how do we show that we belong to Jesus? I think that's the big question. And that's a part of aligning our thought and actions with what God tells us to do. Because God's view will be completely correct. And we want to yield to God's will and his word. That's what we want to do. So somehow, when we have our thoughts develop in a different direction that is not biblical, then we are on our own and can make errors. We can make mistakes when we think about things that we want to have or want to follow. Yes, a few days ago, I had a conversation with a Christian brother. And we talked about the importance of prayer. And both of us talked about how important it was to have prayer in your life. Prayer in my life. But I was kind of surprised at what he said. He said, prayer is like power steering fluid. And I laughed to myself. And I thought, what is he going to say next? And he said, when you have power steering in your power steering pump, you can drive easily. But if you are out of power steering fluid, it is hard to steer. You might not be able to steer. And we need the power. We need the power steering fluid. Well, I laughed to myself about that, but I thought, you know, that is an illustration, and it is a truthful illustration about how we need the power steering fluid. Well, anyway, we need God. We need the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ in our life. We invite him into our life, and we show our loving respect by obedience to God through Jesus Christ. And with the Holy Spirit, we do want that power of God in our life. And every one of us has many people in our life. You know, we have many people who need prayer in our life. And what does it say to pray without ceasing? Yes, that is what the Bible tells us. Pray without ceasing. And when you think of the many people who need prayer in your life, prayer in their life, they need something. They need the Holy Spirit to come into their mind, their heart, their actions, and their world. So prayer can ease the way for God to move in their life. And of course, we want that to happen for everyone. Oh, yes, for us too, but for them. And we get to know them, and we get to pray for them. And that is what we will surely want to do. It's a matter of showing love to the people around us. Whether we are close to them or not, we still think of them having the Holy Spirit active in their life, loving them with the fullness of God, urging them to that heavenly place and to a fellowship with other believers as we interact, as we speak to each other and do the things which are helpful for one another. Yes, Lord, we have our local group of people who we know, our family. Yes, we have a Christian family. You might call that even a church family. We have an international family where there are people all around the world who are our Christian family. And somehow, we think of the troubles every one of them are having. It's easy to see because, well, we understand. We understand the troubles that are going on in their life. We can see it from a distance, or we can talk to them up close and personal, and they can tell us about what is going on in their life. And we want to pray for them. We want God to work mightily in their life, just like I want God to work mightily in your life. And so we get to speak about it, pray about it, and ask God to intervene with blessings, with loving kindness through the many aspects of our life. And there are many. There are so many. There are things that, well, they can be trouble. And we do not expect for things to get as troublesome as they are. But it is life, that there is trouble. And we want to have the power of prayer reaching into people's lives to guide them, to protect them, to show them the love of God and have the Holy Spirit in their life. Oh, yes, that's what we want. And so we have a little prayer going out so that they can see and understand how to think, do, and pray. As I think of all the people around me, around all of us, our Christian family, of course, our earthly family, yes, our governmental system, which has always had, complications. Oh, sure, sometimes there are problems, sometimes there are big problems, and sometimes the problems in government will actually affect us. Sometime for the good, sometime for the trouble. Our government can cause wonderful life to happen, and the problems in government can have great big difficulties. So, of course, we pray for the people in government around us. Even if we don't like what they are doing, we pray for them. After all, if they are acting in a godly way, it will be a benefit for our whole society around us, in a big way and a small way. So we pray for our leaders, and that's a part of what our Bible tells us to do. But we want to do it anyway from a very human point of view, because we like things to go well for us. And when our government goes well, there is a tendency for our lives to have a good path forward. So those around us, yes, the people that are good, the people that are bad, the people who love our country, the people who hate our country. There are people in our military also, and there are every group of people that you can imagine, locally, internationally, and every one of them can use prayer. If they are on the right path, according to what we understand, they need prayer. If they are on the wrong path, which is against our Christian life, they still need prayer. And God is answering prayers with dreams and visions of people who are not Christ followers. The last estimate I heard about that country of Iran was that there are over 1 million converts to Christianity because Jesus Christ appeared to the people in a powerful dream and showed them that he was the way, the truth, and the life. So we have the many, many, many people to pray for, both locally and internationally, and that will help our life to go well. That is really what we want to share with other people, the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. And we also want the material benefits that go along with a richness of life in this world and in this country. And we have lots of them, lots and lots of them. Just think of the storehouses that we have. But do not forget that we are told that the future will hold wars, rumors of wars, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. So we have a pretty good idea of what will be happening, and that means we want to have preparation for other people and preparation for ourselves and our very own family, even our church family. Well, we want to have a care that we will have supplies, food and supplies that we need to get through life and share the goodness of Jesus Christ with other people who do not yet know Jesus. And so we will pray. Prayer is powerful and prayer is goodness. And there are so many people to pray for. Yes, yes. Again, people we know, people we do not know, people we love, people we do not love. There are many people who need prayer. Again, locally and internationally. There are problems going on in the whole world. There are influences and conditions that are challenging our life, our family's life, our community's life, our country's life. There are things going on that need prayer in every way. So I hope that you well pray. I hope that you do pray for everything going on around us, whether it's love or hate within our country or about the Christianity that we represent. There is much to remember and much to pray for as we see the new believers, the old believers, the young people in America, the old people in America. And we can extend that to the world. There are plenty of people everywhere who just plain need prayer. They need Jesus. They need the blessings. They need even the troubles to teach them about why we want to prepare with God and the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, too. So that's a part of what our prayers can include. So please continue to pray for those around you. We need God. We need Jesus. And that is something we need every day and all the time. Now, some people consider that they need Jesus for in case there is a big problem, in case there is, well, hellfire coming up, or just some emergency on earth. And so they pray to Jesus and ask for help. Well, that's one way of doing it. And I don't blame anybody for doing it. I've done it too. I think probably all of us have. We see a problem right in front of us and we pray for God's help. But ultimately, the big question is to have a relation with Jesus and not just have Jesus like he is a spare tire in the trunk. When we take him out when we need him, that is a certain manipulation that is not following Jesus, that is not calling him Lord or making him Lord. Now, we have scripture that says even the devils believe, and that's something that we want to use caution about ourselves, that we not only believe, but we follow and obey the will of God through Jesus Christ. That's actively showing your love for Jesus as we seek to show the people around us the goodness of God through Jesus Christ. People have been doing that for hundreds of years, thousands of years, and we want to keep doing it because we recognize there is a pattern about the future, about God's will on earth, and we want to have our own good and productive place in that pattern that is around us. Be a part of God's plan. Oh, yes. Serve God. And do that now while we are alive. That will show that we really do belong to God through Jesus Christ. Now, there's things that happen in life. There's the good things. There's the disaster things. And we want to be prepared for whatever comes our way. And, of course, that includes disasters. What do we need for a disaster? Besides prayer? Besides Jesus? Yes, we will need some basics that are physical needs. Water, food, and warmth, I would say. And have these things available in case we have a trouble where there just is not what we expect. We expect life to continue in its normal way. But life often changes. People expect water and electricity. But our life shows that when there is an emergency happening, water and electricity do not happen. And there's many reasons for it. Sometimes it is water at the source dries up. Sometimes it is the electricity to pump the water does not come up. Sometimes there is a adversary who wants to stop our electricity in the United States. And there have been probes into our electricity, our water, and our emergency services. And that is something that has been going on for years. We have to know that there can be an interruption caused by mankind, terrorism. There can be interruptions in our normal life. But there can also be an interruption caused by God. Just think of what an earthquake could do. Think of what a coronal mass ejection from our sun could do. It could stop our electricity immediately. No more water, no more communication. And these are things that, well, they have happened in the past, and therefore we know they could happen again. That CME, coronal mass ejection, has happened in 1858 with the Carrington effect, and the telegraph lines all across the East Coast melted, and they dropped melted metal into the grass, and that caused prairie fires all along the East Coast in 1858. So that can happen again. In fact, there have been coronal mass ejections. There was one in 1921 that caused the transatlantic cable to melt on one end. It melted, but then the people thought that they no longer needed a transatlantic cable, and they didn't repair it. So those things happen. Other CMEs, there have been other ones that have been since then, 97 was another one, and then there was one in 2011 and 2025. So these things do happen, and they have hit different parts of the world, different parts of the USA. Could it happen again that we have a Carrington, a 1958 another coronal ejection that would be like the great big effect that that took out the electricity and the communication along the East Coast. So it can happen again. We can have things happen in all sorts of ways: natural disasters, with earthquakes and tsunamis too. Well, I think of the earthquakes and tsunamis, and I think of the ones that are likely to happen because we have an Earth that is changing. We have a West Coast and an East Coast, that and a Yellowstone. All of these places show that there are Earth changes as earthquakes occur and continental plates are shifting. There could be tsunamis. There could be disasters. And it is simply another reason to know that there could be a natural disaster happening anytime in our life that would cause millions of people to, well, relocate if they're lucky. But if they are in the midst of it, there could be that tsunami wave that actually kills many people. I think of the Office of Emergency Services telling us that if there was a tsunami along the Cascadia subduction zone, it's possible that everything to the west of I-5 could be in danger of complete collapse. So these are things that are actually going on with the warnings in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, and Luke talking about earthquakes. There are warnings that are being told by the scientists around the world and in the USA. They talk about these same things happening along the earthquake zones from the West Coast to the central USA with the New Madrid Fault. They keep finding things where there are earthquakes that were not expected in, for instance, Lake Tahoe and under Lake Superior. Earthquakes are happening, and that means we could have an unexpected event. The big thing that I see is that we will want to have emergency supplies in case the normal services and the emergency services are not able to provide for our needs. Which, of course, how do you prepare for millions of people and what they need? There have always been people who have been preparing for emergencies, but most of the preparation that goes on is to have a collection through the Red Cross or the Office of Emergency Services. They have the money available to buy what is needed, but they have to buy it before they distribute it. That's a part of what is going on for the last 20 years or more. We have had emergencies, natural disasters, but we don't have the material on hand that will help us to get through a time of difficulty, through a natural disaster. Whether it's the government, an agency, a church, a neighborhood, or you and me, we all think that we will be able to get what we need at the store, at the warehouse, if there is an emergency. But no, it doesn't work like that. There are no warehouses full of emergency goods, full of food, full of what we need to stay warm. Nope. That's not available. It has to be supplied. And there is no warehouses to supply the needs of all of us. That means we want to have the supplies on hand ourselves, to provide for ourselves, even our family, or even our neighbors. And that's something that we can dwell upon, think about, and learn how to do. There are earthquakes all around the United States. There are even volcanoes that are having signs of waking up. There's the one off the coast of Oregon, Axios Seamount. So, and it has gone on from 2011 and 2020. There are things that are actively going off. So prepare and look around to see what you can do. You can get your preparedness in order. You can also get my free preparedness page by writing to me with a stamped self-addressed envelope, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And, of course, I welcome donations because that keeps the broadcast on the air. So think about things. Pray for the many people around you, including the missionaries that will bring Jesus Christ to your neighborhood and to the international area around you. God bless you, and thank you for today.